This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, the Republic and the Empire unleash their ultimate Zoids. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hyperspace Broadcast, a show where two real friends dig through Toonami's back catalog and try to determine what, if anything, is worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're continuing our coverage of Zoids Chaotic Century with episodes 13 through 25, picking up from where we left off, where we were introduced to Evil Van, also known as Ray Van.
Raven. It's not Ray Vans.
Who is he's an evil van. He's a kid who pilots a different Zoid and has an organoid of his own. And he beats Van.
His organoid's name is Shadow, which really tells you
how cool he's the dark side. Obviously. And
he's the dark side of Van.
And yeah, so he easily beats Van in his Zaber Fang. And that brings us to where we are starting off with this block. So let's get right into the synopsis. Basically, this block can be broken into two arcs. The first arc is the Empire gearing up to attack New Helix City, which is capital of the Republic. And in the second arc, the Desert Alcabalino gang makes their reappearance by kidnapping Prince Rudolph, who is the heir to the throne of the Empire. And they end up protecting him against sort of internal political machinations at the hands of Prozen, who you may remember as the kind of bad guy who was ordering around idiots last episode of this podcast. So we begin, and Van wants a rematch against Raven, because of course he does. Now they're rivals. Yeah. Meanwhile, Imperial forces are moving on the first of several fortresses, in this case the Fortress Kronos, after being split into two different forces. Basically, the idea is that even though they could easily end the war by attacking Kronos with this overwhelming force, basically Prozen wants to split things up so that they can prolong it and totally destroy the Republic because, you know, he's evil. Unfortunately for them, Kronos has been rigged as a gigantic bomb, and it's detonated. This is under the orders of Colonel Kruger, and as we'll learn later, this is his one strategy, apparently.
Yeah, it really is. They just, yeah, this whole arc, this whole, like, first arc is just, like, base after base after base, two, I guess, but still, like,
yeah,
they do the
feels
same tactic
like a lot.
Twice. The same tactic twice, and they're still, like, oh, man, that was so devastating. Well, let's raid this new base. Oh, fuck.
Oh, no, that one's like also a giant bomb. Yep. Yeah, so Van and Raven have another fight. Van manages to activate the Shield Liger's shield and beats Raven. Yeah, right. You would think that might be helpful. But of course, then Raven calls in his organoid and kicks the crap out of Van because he wasn't even using his, you know, trump card at the time.
Wasn't even using his full power. Yep. Yeah. Only a fraction of Raven's evil power.
Yeah. He still has four more forms, etc. Yeah. So during this battle, Zeke is badly hurt and everyone runs into Dr. D again, who basically tells Van, hey, there's this MacGuffin called Zoid Magnite that you have to go get, and then you gotta feed it to Zeke, and that'll heal him up. So this is done, and Van resolves never to take Zeke for granted again, basically.
In the beginning of the episode, too, they're like, we need to find a doctor who specializes in Zoids. It's like, fucker, do you mean a mechanic?
Like, yeah, or like a vet. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, something between a mechanic and a vet. Like,
I guess they didn't want to come up with like a weird term that no one would understand. So like doctor for Zoids is about as good as you can get. Because again,
a Zoid healer.
Yes, because again, Zoids are both giant robots and animals somehow, but only when it's convenient for the show. We talked about this a bit last time, but it really became apparent watching these episodes that the Zoids are just vehicles. They are not really alive.
Do they have souls or no? Okay, I guess they're only alive when like a cool organoid jumps in them.
Yeah, or I mean, they're alive generally, but also they can just kind of awkwardly stand on a trailer, and they're not even like laying down; they're just standing there. Like, that's not how shit works. But you know, that's for another time. Basically, during this whole bit, Irvine decides to go test a weapon pack on the Command Wolf that is supposed to destroy the Zaberfang, and then he fights Raven and himself gets beaten because Raven uses Shadow. So now both of our main heroes have been beaten by Raven, and I guess they're kind of juggling who exactly is the rival here.
Yeah, and then we get the Imperial forces now charging on this other base, which is, you know,
which is also a mountain.
Also a mountain, and also it turns out a volcano.
Yeah,
and so basically good old like good old Republican forces use that tried and true tactic of blowing up their own fucking base.
Well,
and abandoning
it. That doesn't happen yet, because first we have your favorite episode, Peter, which is where the Republic deploys their super zoid, the Gojulus.
That's
which
right.
Is
they
this
have to pointlessly bring out their stupid fucking giant zoid that's just like Reptar. Like, it's like this,
yes.
It's just this like giant.
It is totally Robo Reptar. Holy shit!
It's supposed to be like, I guess, a Godzilla. Like, it's
yeah.
Its
I mean, it's very good. I mean, Reptar is Godzilla
Gojulus.
Too. So
yeah, but, that's true. Gojulus is kind of like Gojira, and like I think that's kind of the vibe they're intending to go for. But it's just so dopey looking, and it keeps like roaring, and like you see like a light up in its mouth. And then it just goes away, like it's threatening to do an atomic breath attack.
Yeah,
but
it
does.
Doesn't. We'll
Instead
talk
just
about that
big,
later.
Dumb cannons,
but
God damn it!
But anyway, it's piloted by Captain Herman, who was the like captain of the Republic forces that hired all of our main characters in the last arc, and he basically manages to fight off Imperial forces, but kind of fucks it up. So now we're in New Helix City, which is apparently right next to this base, although the two environments do not look very similar.
It's also apparently just New York City.
It
looks like New York City, and the like palace for the Republican forces is just it's just the White House. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Ridiculous.
That's true. The president's residence is definitely just the White House. And they're having this big parade. An Imperial soldier escapes. Van helps him get away. And then the soldier wreaks a bunch of havoc with the stolen Command Wolf. And Van feels responsible. And there's like a little bit of war as hell shit going on there. But the main reason that this is important is because there's a couple of mysterious icebergs approaching New Helix City, which is the dumbest cover ever for an Imperial assault force, because no one on Earth would be suspicious if random icebergs started approaching a city.
Yeah. And eventually even it gets to the point where they're like, well, let's like shoot a missile at it, like what's gonna happen? Oh shit. And then they reveal that it's finally an invasion force. It's really stupid.
So we've got an invasion force approaching from the land, an invasion force approaching from the sea. New Helix City seems to be doomed, but fortunately the brilliant strategy of of Colonel Kruger comes into play once again, where he realizes that because Mount Gosa is a volcano, they can cause the volcano to erupt and totally wipe out the Imperial force approaching via land.
I love that also. How do they trigger an eruption? Just shoot missiles into it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that is their like backup of a backup, because initially they have some kind of detonator, which I guess might trigger an eruption. I don't really know, but
Colonel
Kruger eventually
keeps trying to sacrifice himself over and over again, and no one will let him.
Yes, this is also true. But eventually, yes, they just kind of shoot a missile into a volcano, which causes it to erupt. The Imperial forces under Colonel Schubolz retreat, except for one fucking idiot. And we talked about him a little bit last block. This is his last stand. This is the guy we called Chinstrap last time. It turns out his name is Marcus. Basically, he's just some kind of like fanatic asshole working directly for Prozen and coming into conflict with Schubolz frequently. But he literally is like, I can't retreat from this exploding volcano.
Yeah.
Because like I was chiding everyone around to him take for retreating.
He's like chiding everyone around him for retreating too, like, oh, you cowards, just like, yeah, I'm gonna like, keep running into this fucking lava flow.
I don't know, it's so weird and like so nonsense.
He just dies.
It's very funny that he dies in possibly the stupidest way ever.
Meanwhile, we get a pretty climactic duel between Van and Raven on the edge of a volcano that's erupting, which is pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome, except for, if I remember correctly, one shot where their Zoids jump at each other and then just kind of hit each other in midair and bounce off like a couple of rubber balls. And it looks extremely goofy. But
look, you can't do all the detail with CG. Sometimes you just have them bounce at each other.
Yeah, sure. But that aside, this whole thing is brought to an end when the Prince Rudolph, the heir to the throne of the Empire, calls in and is like, hey, I'm calling a ceasefire because my grandfather, the current emperor, died. So I'm in charge now and this war is over, at least for the moment.
Right, which pretty much saves the ass of New Helix City, which is about to get completely raided from the sea.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, with their land forces gone, New Helix City is in a position to negotiate, but yeah, it does help immensely.
It's down to the wire.
Yes, exactly. So, now we have the second major arc. One of the main parts of this is that Van and company decide to go to some ancient ruins where they hope to find some clue to Fiona's past, but that's kind of secondary.
Yeah.
Because the major thing that's happening is that the leader of the Desert Arcabalino gang, Rosso, is broken out of prison by his fellow bandits. And they hatch a scheme to kidnap Prince Rudolph and ransom him for money, given that he is now the emperor of the empire, I guess.
I love, too, they break him out of prison. It's like, so, what's the score? What are we doing? We're going to kidnap the emperor. Oh, good. And there's, like, no reaction to that.
It's like,
cool.
All right, sounds good. We just broke you out of prison. Like, yeah. We might want to lay low for a bit, but you know what? Whatever. Fuck it.
Maybe stay off the suicide missions.
Yeah, so this kidnapping idea kind of ends up intersecting with a plot by Prozen to assassinate the prince, using the goofiest looking assassins of all time. One of whom I referred to in my notes as hitting the random button on Soul Calibur character creator. Like,
he looks like Naruto with two different color hairs and dreads that also come down. Like,
yeah, he has like three different hairstyles.
Yeah.
It's all kind of mashed together. And also, hilariously, is named Dennis, which seems like an incredibly normal name for someone who looks so crazy.
Yeah.
But whatever. You know, basically, Rosso ends up kidnapping Prince Rudolph and actually ends up kind of being his protector because the actual Imperial forces are trying to assassinate him.
Yeah. Prozen, by the way, for what it's worth, is the regent, so he's, like, kind of ruling in place until the emperor's of age, but, you know, if he gets the emperor out of the way, he can have all the power, so.
Yeah, right. I mean, he kind of has all the power already, but whatever. Kill the emperor. You know. Meanwhile, while this is all going on, Van and company travel to the Gareel Plateau and find these ruins, which have been cleaned out by presumably Imperial forces because they left a whole bunch of sleeper raptor Zoids behind that Van has to beat. And Fiona has this vision of a giant evil Zoid and then weakly says the key arc words, Death Soarer. The coolest name.
Death Soarer.
So intimidating. It's so magnificent.
I guess so. It's like dinosaur, but also dinosaur.
Yes.
Why?
It's the Death Soarer. Just get over it.
Yeah, you're right.
So, also, apparently, Prozen has been conducting some experiments on a Zoid's Zoid core, which is the first time we're hearing about a Zoid core, but basically it's like a Zoid's heart, sort of. And he gives this new Zoid, which they call the Genosaurer, over to Raven, who is, you know, now has a super powerful Zoid to go hunt down Rudolph.
After his kitty cat Zoid got blown up on the
After his saber fang / saber tiger, because they definitely refer to it as both over the course of these episodes. But yeah, that thing's gone. Now he has the Genosaur, and it's super fucking powerful because it has a giant laser beam.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is essentially the final arc. Van and company eventually run into Prince Rudolph, who's run away from Rosso. Rosso and Viola sacrifice themselves to allow Van to run, basically, with Rudolph in tow, while Raven destroys the shit out of them with his Genosaur. And
Rudolph even calls him dad, which is kind of a funny... It was cute. But it was also
remember that.
Yeah, he's like, you can call me dad. It's like, thanks.
Dad.
Like, Rosso's so proud that he's been called dad.
Yeah, right.
But it's like... It's interesting backstory that we don't get. And like, what about his actual father?
I mean, I assume he just like died at a young age or something. I don't know. So yes, we just have a bunch of interaction now between our main characters and these assassins and Raven. And then eventually another assassin named Stinger, who is apparently called the Fisherman. Now,
that's right.
Here's the thing. When I heard that there was a character named Stinger, I was like, oh, that's a nickname. That's not his real name. But no, apparently that's his real name. And the Fisherman is the moniker that he chose to use.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't think it, like, I don't think I have to point out that that's a much lamer fucking name than Stinger.
My name's Death Scythe, but you can call me the shopkeeper.
Exactly. Like, what you can call
go with your way cooler first name.
You can call me the Physician.
Like, especially when, like, the Fisherman, like,
right
again, so, like, oh, he reels it in and gets their trust or
so,
whatever.
So his
Stinger is such a good assassin name.
Exactly. Like, so whatever. So Stinger / the Fisherman tricks everybody into thinking he's a cool guy and then poisons their soup with some kind of paralysis poison. And everyone passes out. Raven ends up actually killing Van's shield liger by destroying its Zoid core. So I mean, basically, at the end, we have this kind of pileup of different shit where
Zeke and Fiona, like, merge together in the busted-ass remains of the shield liger and form this, like, crazy vortex of light that surrounds the shield liger. And it's, like, clearly they're, like, preparing the new cool Zoid to come in. You know, they're repairing the shield liger in its own way. What they're actually doing in there is kind of still up in the air, but, you know, they're just like doing organoid shit and making a new Zoid or repairing it. And so you've got this whole thing where people are like trying to figure out what the hell's going on in this energy vortex, and then that's when Stinger comes in and starts fucking everyone up, and, you know, of course,
and poisoning Van, everybody.
Of course Van gets to use the cool new blade liger that comes out of the vortex at the last minute to save the day from Stinger.
Yeah, but also, like, while this is happening, there's also a decent amount of these assassin dudes trying to, like, kill Rudolph, but then they kidnap Rudolph, and there's this whole bit of business about how he has a signet ring that Van has now, and they can't just kill him because they need the ring for some reason. So,
I mean, the ring
keep him alive.
Proof that it was the Emperor, so they can prove he's dead.
I guess
they have it.
But I don't know, whatever.
That made sense to me.
There's a whole bit of business about all of this stuff, and Dr. D is there now again.
Of course.
And I don't know. It all basically ends with Van getting the new Blade Liger, and Fiona and Zeke are out of the Zoid, and they're fine. And they've beaten off Stinger. That was not a good choice of words. And
0-2 today.
I'm going to keep that in, though. And then the assassins escape, presumably to be seen again, because we haven't had enough of those fucking guys.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, they keep showing up. They get beaten by Irvine and Van together. And then they show up again, and it's like, It is as if they're abusing the fact that they don't want the main characters to kill other characters.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
They should really kill those assassins. Like, they're just going to keep coming.
Or disable their Zoids. Like, their Zoids aren't even damaged. It's I don't know. The assassins just keep coming back in a way that gets very irritating for me anyway. So, yeah, that's where we're at. Rudolph is, for the moment, safe. He wants them to take him to the capital of the Empire so he can
prove all this
stuff.
I think they end up getting the signet ring in the end, though.
I don't even know.
Yeah, they do. They end up, the bad guys end up getting the signet ring, which is what they wanted. But, you know, the kid, Rudolph, is still alive, and he's like, oh, well, I guess that's okay. But it's not okay. I mean,
which doesn't make any fucking sense. Whatever.
Whatever.
I'll bitch about this later, but before I do that, we should get on to Zeniths and Nadirs. Sure. Peter, what was your favorite episode of this?
Mine was episode 19. This is the episode in which the Desert Arcabalino gang attacks the prison to get Rosso out. Meanwhile, Prince Rudolph's like kind of trying to figure out things in the wake of his grandfather's death, and you get this Prozen starts planning like, oh, I'm gonna have fucking... Prozen also has one move, which is to do evil things and then pin it on the Republicans.
Yeah, right.
Like, pin it on the opposing army. So he's like,
can I step in for a minute? Because you said this, you said on the Republicans. Now, this is something that's really weird about this show.
Yeah.
Because they keep referring to the Republic as the Republicans, which, like, you would think that they would come up with a term that isn't directly analogous to an existing political party. Like, it's just weird to hear over and over, and it would be just as weird if it was like the Democrats or labor. Like, it's so bizarre to hear this thing in this fantasy world over and over again. Like, why not call them the Helicans, since that's the nation they're actually from?
The Republican forces.
Or just the Republic forces, like they do in Star Wars. Yeah. I don't know. It's really bizarre. And I feel like I needed to point it out that, yes,
you do. Yeah,
they say Republicans all the time, and every time I'm like, yeah, that takes me out of it a little bit.
So, yeah, these assassins are hired to come, like, by Prozen, because, again, Prozen only ever does things to pin it on the Republican army.
Yep, because he just does false flags. That's what he likes doing.
That's he's his the false trick. Flag guy.
Colonel Kruger's the blow-up-my-own-base guy.
Yeah. So you've got this interesting situation in which, you know, the kidnappers come in to steal Rudolph, but then they end up having to protect Rudolph because Rudolph is their ransom. It's the only thing that's going to get them money from these fucking psycho assassins who come in and start trying to kill him. And I don't know, something about that I just really loved. I like the whole like twists and turns of this episode and just the idea of this double kidnapping plot that kind of like, you know, or, you know, this kidnapping plot versus assassination plot that
ends
up pitting Rudolph's kidnappers as his only protectors.
Yeah, and like, it's fun it to really see. Cool. It's fun to see that kind of like two gambits smashing into each other.
Yeah,
presumably throwing cards and talking in, you know, whatever New Orleans accents while doing it. But in seriousness, it kind of reminds me of like early Guy Ritchie movies in a way.
Yeah. It's like I was thinking of that too. It's like a heist movie thing where like it is really Guy Ritchie is what you're saying. Like
Snatch, when there's just this moment where all of the different schemes all smash into each other and like everything goes up the wall. Like it's kind of like that in a way that's really fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. I kind of appreciated that level of intrigue in this show that they're willing to throw around.
Yeah, that's cool, too.
You know, like, especially since, like, all of Last Block was so goddamn boring. Like, this one, they're, like, actually throwing some more political stuff around, more intrigue. It's fun. And also, this episode had, like, no main characters.
That's like, true. This episode is pretty much entirely absent of the main cast.
I don't think
they're
Van or Irvine
traveling.
Or anyone is in it. It's just like...
I'm sure they're in it, but they don't play a major role in the actual plot line. It's just like a check-in on their way to the Greel Plateau.
And we get to see Jaro, who is the... I don't remember if we mentioned him last episode.
No, we definitely mentioned Jaro last episode.
Yeah, he's this pink-skinned blonde man.
Yeah, who says nothing and whose name is Jaro, and he's the best character.
Yeah, he's great. So, yeah. What was your Zenith?
Mine was episode 18. This is the episode where Prince Rudolph, you know, learns that his grandfather has died, and this is the one where Colonel Kruger blows up the second base.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, basically everything in the war plotline is resolved from the first arc. Like, to be honest, I think your Zenith is probably the actual best episode of this block, but this episode does a pretty good job of introducing the sort of messy politics inside the Empire, and I really can't help but love an episode where the plan is to fucking, like, erupt a volcano by firing a missile into it.
Yeah, right.
As a way to blow up a bunch of bad guys. And it's so silly. It's also so silly that this is like the same guy enacting this plan as the one who blew up the last base. Yeah. And honestly, I think the part that really sticks out of this episode to me is how funny it is that Marcus refuses to retreat from an exploding volcano. Like, yeah, that is ridiculous.
So stupid. And you know what? I liked the, I like the climactic battle between Van and Raven at the end, too.
Yeah, that does, like, happen in this one, too.
Van's actually making progress against Raven and actually kind of beats him. And
you know, well, doesn't kind of beat him. Like, he actually straight up beats him.
Yeah. It's very Star Wars Episode 3.
Yeah. Also, this has... I didn't mention this in the plot synopsis because it's not very important, but it turns out that Colonel Herman is actually the son of the Republic president.
Yeah.
And there's this one scene in this where he's communicating with her via hologram, and he just has this moment of, like, dropping his gruff military character to be like, yeah, cool, thanks, Mom, you're the best. And
it's funny. It's like, I think we're gonna plan to do this at the base. Cool, thanks, Mom.
I don't know, it's like a really weird moment that's very out of character, but, like, I don't know, it's a decent joke. I thought, yeah, it was funny. I laughed. Yeah. What was your least favorite episode?
Mine was episode 15. We mentioned this before, of course. This is when Irvine sneaks into a Republic base. He does a lot of, like, sneaking into bases for no fucking reason.
Yeah, which no one tries to stop him, and then once he's found, they're just like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't need to sneak in.
Oh, hey, strange man in the middle of a war looking at our secret weapon. How's it going?
But we know you because you fought with us before most of the time. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah, why are you sneaking? So, yeah, he sneaks in... Like, the whole episode is him sneaking to this base, and it's kind of building up to this reveal of this secret weapon, the XG-Zoid, the Gojalus. And... guess what? Like, they reveal the Gojals at the end. Imperials attack the base while Irvine's in it. And they're like, all right, we're sending out the Gojals. And for some reason, like, Irvine, the colonel catches Irvine inside the base and has, like, a philosophical discussion with him about, like, what Zoids mean to him.
And yeah, it's just, and like, who should pilot the Gojalus?
Yeah, and it's pretty stupid. And then, like, Herman comes in. And he's like, oh, no, I'm piloting it. Shut up. And he just gets in, and that's the end of the story. So I'm curious where that might build. Is Irvine going to get the Gojalus? Yeah, really. It was.
Yeah.
It really seemed pointless. And then the Gojalus is revealed, and it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, this stupid thing. Like, this stupid big lug of a Reptar-looking robot.
Yeah, well, it looks silly, and like you mentioned, it has the weird thing where it, like, fucking teases the audience with it doing the atomic breath attack thing.
Yeah.
And it does that 3 times.
Yeah, and never, like, launches. It's like, I don't even know if it can do that. It seems like it really should, but it's like, yeah, what a weird tease. Instead, it just fires cannons, and it's like, that's kind of generic. And okay, I guess it just wipes out everything with its cannons. And then it can't move very much at all because it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, and then it, like, falls over because it's stupid. Like, yeah.
Also, meanwhile, we've got Raven in there being like, I knew he couldn't handle the Gojalus.
Yeah,
only
a true pilot
could, like me. Fucking, that kid is the best.
We'll talk more about Raven. But so, yes, like, that's stupid. Now, what's also stupid is that these episodes start off with a new, like, sort of recap intro kind of thing where it's like, hey, these are Zoids. This is what's going on. And first of all, for some reason, the music sounds almost identical to the Jurassic Park
theme. I'm so glad he brought this up. Yeah. It's just, it is absolutely a take on the Jurassic Park theme.
It is
like, so
very
close.
Strange to hear, and there is one part of it which is very obvious, just straight up part of the Jurassic Park theme. The most memorable part.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did they, why? Like, why did you do this? What, you think you're going to get away with this? No,
the
one's
Gojos
not
is featured in that shot, too, yeah. Which is like, hey, so you're already revealing it.
Isn't anything. We've already yeah. seen this fucking giant Zoid. Like, it's not much of a reveal.
I honestly thought it was, when I saw that at first, I thought it was one of their stupid standing dinosaurs.
Yeah, one of their other stupid Zoids that looks like a big dinosaur and just stands up really straight in an awkward way.
Yeah. God damn. Like, it's hard to find which ones to hate more between those and the Imperial's fucking slug Zoids.
Oh my god, I hate the Caterpillar Zoids so much. They look so stupid.
They make that awful, like, demon pig squeal noise whenever they move around. It's just terrible.
Well, and also they're, like, pushing themselves forward on wheels in a way that looks really awkward, but does not make any sense to explain, so I'm not even going to try.
So what was your least favorite episode?
My least favorite episode was episode 24. This is the episode where Stinger is introduced, and he attacks the assassin guys who... I will say right now, they are the main reason I didn't like this episode. I was so tired of them by this point, because they have been defeated soundly over and over again, and they just don't go away. Like, literally the previous episode, they are beaten by Van and Irvine, and they don't go away.
Yeah, it's like they're beaten definitively, too. Like, when you see that shit in the show, you'd be like, okay, they can come back, like, in 20 episodes.
Or, like, in 4 or 5. I don't know. But no. They just continue attacking them.
It's really frustrating.
Yeah, so there's that, which is stupid. And also, there's just this thing that's, like, really kind of weird, where Van undergoes some character growth, where he's like, I shouldn't have taken Zeke and Fiona, you know, for granted, because at this point they're inside the big Zoid cocoon making the Blade Liger.
Yeah, but no one knows what's happening to them.
Yeah, but he flip-flops between that and, like, why'd they leave me behind? In a way that's really stupid, because, like, don't you realize that they're like, if they went into this thing and it's a big cocoon around your Zoid, they're probably helping.
Yeah.
Like, they probably didn't just decide to leave. I don't know. There's something about it that's just really awkward about him flip-flopping between these two perspectives over and over. This is also, like, there's some stuff about Rudolph and the ring in this point, which is kind of meh to me also. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it's mostly the assassins and Van doing his weird, like, character growth flip-flopping, which is just silly.
What do you think about Stinger as an antagonist?
Yeah, I don't like Stinger. Stinger strikes me as a kind of offensive gay caricature, in that he's like very effeminate guy who... not gay caricature, that's not the right way to put it.
I don't think that's, yeah.
He strikes me as...
feminine,
like,
male type, sort of, but...
Yeah, but also there's a lot of, like, his characterization of just how he fights, like, ooh, he doesn't fight like a man, he fights dirty you know, like, gassing them with some kind of sleep agent or paralyzing them, and he likes to see his fucking victims suffer. Like, there's this whole weird element to it that I feel like is a negative stereotype in a way that, I don't know. I was like, it's the kind of character that I don't want to get on a high horse about being offended by, but still I was like, come on guys. Like, also Irvine's really, like, awkwardly homophobic towards him.
It's true. It's just not right, he says.
Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, you're wearing a bunch of makeup and stuff like that. And it's like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. And I don't like the character.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he was, like, necessarily intended to come off as gay necessarily, but he might be more of, like, an effeminate male kind of thing. Like, you see it a lot in anime and stuff too, where it's like, especially when they terms of, like, pop stars, like male pop stars and visual K kind of stuff. still, you know, it's just like the idea of treating a man acting effeminately with such like venom, and it also having him be like just straight up fucking evil. Like,
yeah, right. I mean, that's the thing. It's just that, yeah, he's like an evil guy. And, you know, regardless of the original intention, they still gave him a sort of like lispy voice for the dub. So like that doesn't help. And yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just one of these things that comes up every once in a while, and it bothers me. And I don't want to go off on a tear about it, although I kind of already have. But, you know, it's like, hey, cool. Remember the 90s / the early 2000s when this was totally fine. And I wish it wasn't. But anyway, that aside, let's get to our break. When we get back, we'll talk about what we thought about this block as a whole, talk about the results of our bet, and then what we're going to watch next week. By which I mean, like, 2 days from now.
Yep.
Zoids will return in a moment. Hey everyone, this is Michael. Just here to give you some quick updates. Also, I just wanted to again apologize for the delay of this episode. It has been about a week, and barring any catastrophe, we should be back on schedule starting tomorrow. So that's good news. Our opening and closing music is, as always, Vapor Divin', and the music for the bumpers is Monkeys. Both of these tracks are by Anitek, that's A-N-I-T-E-K. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud. Rights were secured through Jamendo. Our next full episode will release December 4th, and tune in tomorrow where we discuss Zoids Wild. As always, you can submit a topic or show suggestion for our minisodes via DM on facebook.com/HBpod, Twitter at HBpod, or you can email us at hyperspacebroadcastpod@gmail.com.
Go around hunting for fruit and climbing trees, oranges. I'm a papaya guy.
And now, back to Zoids. All right, we are back. Peter, what did you think of this block overall? I know that you had very mixed opinions about the first block. Well, yeah. No, you didn't. No, you thought it was bad.
I had zero opinions in the first block.
What am I talking about?
I felt like it didn't even happen. Like, yeah, it was such... It was like everything that happened was so rote, like that.
Yeah,
it was as if I just read a Wikipedia article on the fucking series, but
it's as though I stared into a blank void for 12 20 minute segments.
Zoid void. Yeah, I think this block by comparison really shined, even though it's still like very fucking tropey and very shonen. Like the introduction of this antagonist and the show's kind of at the same time also broadening a focus on like these imperial politics and the war that's happening, which was more intricately constructed than I would have expected from this show. This show like strikes me as a bit childish sometimes, and the way they resolve fights and no one ever gets killed except Jinstrap, who dies because he's a fucking idiot. But generally no one seems to get killed, even the villains. Like, you know, it made me think that, like, oh, they're not going to, like, really do anything interesting. But they actually, yeah, I like the assassination plots and the whole, like, regent and the, you know, that whole emperor situation. Also, like, the episodes now have more of an aim. Like, I feel like everything last block was just kind of idle wandering. It's like, Fiona is from somewhere. Right. Let's try and figure out where she's from. And everyone, for some reason, agrees and just wanders in a direction.
It's like idle wandering where occasionally they get into a fight with, like...
They wander through a war.
Yeah, right, right.
And, you know, Raven, man.
Raven is the best addition to the show.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Because he's kind of like this, like, emo kid, kind of like badass, like thinks he's the coolest shit in the world, like rival protagonist that seems like he's from every anime, but he's so quintessential. Like, he is nothing new, but he is like the voice, dude. It's the voice. Like,
yeah, no, his the voice actor for the English dub absolutely nails this. Ugh. Just like snot-nosed little shit, like, yes. Voice, it is just so perfect.
It's so, and like, he, it's just such a kickable character, like, you just want to kick him.
Yeah, no, it's like literally there came to a point
to me, I'm all powerful.
Yeah, right. Like, there came to be a point where we'd be watching it and he'd just start talking and I'd be like, God, I fucking hate this kid.
It's like, so good.
Like, he is, like, it is so perfectly voiced, perfectly to make hateable. You just hate him. Oh, it's great. Like, legitimately, you know, if Stinger's voice is something that I think is kind of a misstep that I don't think is good, Raven sort of makes up for it in being like the absolute perfect voice.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, yeah. And it's just, and it's like his lines are also just funny in their own right, just because they're so, there's, I don't know, man, like, they're so predictable rival lines.
Well, that, and like, he's just such a prick. Like, there's, yeah, this one point where Prozen gives him the Genosaur, you know, Prozen calls him into this lab, he's like, I have a gift for you, Raven, and Raven's like, well, you better know that my standards for gifts are pretty high. It's like, fuck you. It's like, kid,
such,
like,
such a shit. Oh my god. Yep. And you know what? Rudolph's fun. He's a kind of interesting character, and he's like definitely kind of growing on his own, and makes for a unique perspective. He's not as fun as Raven, but he's like, I like having his perspective in the whole situation of just this like ruler who, you know, I don't know. He's like a kid.
Oh, he's like a naive ruler. He's a kid who thinks that he can make everything right, but he can't. And also, him in contrast with Van is interesting because it allows you to see some of the character growth Van's gone through. There's a point where Rudolph is like, you need to fucking train me to pilot a Zoid, which is kind of cool. Like, Rudolph does add quite a bit, I think, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like their whole, his relationship with Rosso and Viola, as short as that is, but it's good stuff.
No, I think that there's a lot to like about this block. I don't think it's great. Like, it's fine. It has gotten to the point where it's a show that I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll watch this. There are a couple of things that I wasn't a fan of. Now, that said, I do generally agree with what you were saying. Like, I think this is a big improvement, and I like a lot of the additions. I wish that Viola and Rosso had been in it just a little bit more, because I really like seeing, like, former foes become friends in shows like this.
Yeah.
And I feel like they cross paths with Van and his buds for an episode, but they don't really, like, join up, and I really wanted to see them join up and have that kind of internal strife of, like, you fuckers hounded us for weeks at the beginning of the show, and now we're on the same side.
It's like they're playing hot potato with fucking Rudolph. Like,
yeah,
well,
pretty much.
You get them, and then they explode.
So that's kind of weird. To be honest, the signet ring thing doesn't really connect with me. There's a whole, like, I get it in principle, but also, like, fucking A, like, if this kid is dead, he could just be buried anywhere in this huge desert. Like, how, I don't know, like, why do they need the damn ring? Can they make a fake one? Can Prozen just admit that the prince is probably dead and they don't really know what happened to him? I mean, at one point, Prozen basically says, like, yeah, I'm just going to take over because the prince has been missing for a while. Yet, the ring is so important that these assassins kidnap the prince on more than one occasion, but don't kill him because he doesn't have the ring. As though, like, if he dies, the ring ceases to exist.
It's probably fucking, the ring probably has some kind of, like, it's a key to some secret treasure or some shit,
or
like
some
that.
Bullshit. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. It's just a thing where, like, to be honest, to me, after a bit, it felt like the ring was an excuse for the assassins not to kill Rudolph in a time when it would have made total sense for them to do so.
Yeah.
But, you know, they can't because he's a character that we need to have survive. Also, frankly, the original assassination plot featured them just blowing up his fucking, like, airplane. What, they're gonna get the ring out of that shit? It's made of gold.
That's a good point.
Like, whatever. Oh, you also forgot to mention my favorite damn scene in this whole thing, which happens during your favorite episode, where the assassins find out that Rosso's gang is also there. And Rosso's gang is hiding in a cave. The assassins fire a missile into the cave to kill Rosso and his buddies. The missile explodes, and then they just fucking walk away.
Yeah.
They don't investigate. These guys are special forces, and they don't even confirm the kills.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
so
seriously.
Weird and stupid.
It's like, nope, that's that. All right. Good work. They're definitely dead. There's no possible way they survived.
Nope. No way. So, the assassins in general just provide a lot of things for me where I'm like, God, just fucking stop existing, please.
I'm
so tired of seeing your dumb faces and your ridiculous haircuts.
Fucking
like
Dennis.
You, man, who's balding, but all like who is bald, but also has fucking chin length like tufts of hair coming out of his
ears.
He's
got like a tripartite blue beard. Looks really stupid.
Another thing that started to become really obvious for me here is Dr. D just shows up randomly to dump exposition or point the characters towards MacGuffin, and then he leaves. This happens 3 times in these 13 episodes where he's gone, and then they just happen across him somewhere they're already going, and he's like, oh, hey, you need to get the Zoid Magnite. That's the only way to heal Zeke. And then, you know, they run into him in New Helix City, and he's like, oh, hey, you need to go to the Gareel Plateau. That's where you need to be. And then they run into him again just in the middle of the fucking desert. He's like, oh, hey, the Death Soarer was this big evil Zoid that blew up a whole platoon of Zoids. Like, this happens 3 times. Why didn't, like, you know, and not to play fucking Monday morning quarterback, but why didn't he just go with them from New Helix City?
Yeah.
Like, at that point, he's pretty much part of the main cast anyway. We barely see them on the trip to the Gareel Plateau. Like, he could have just gone with them, and
then
it would have been
deal
way
with
less
this, like,
weird.
Then he got to deal with his, like, occasional, very intermittent, random Roshi-like tendencies to grab.
To be fair, this happened
butts.
One time, but it
twice.
Did still happen.
Yeah.
Did it happen twice? I only recall it happened in the one
maybe
time.
Just once.
But
it's just,
I mean,
like,
it's still gross. Don't get me wrong. But like, So yeah, there's that. But really, like, why isn't this guy just part of the main cast at this point? Why does he have to pop up to tell them the next thing to do? It's stupid. And I wish that he was a little more integrated into the show.
Yeah. And less just a plot dump.
Yeah. But all of that said,
all
of that said, though, I did think that this was quite a bit more fun than the previous block. I do also really like the internal machinations of the Empire. I always tend to be a sucker for that kind of storyline.
You're
generally
a real
prosen
type yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm a I try to assassinate people all the time, baby.
Yeah, I'm more of a raven. You know me.
Yeah, you're the annoying kid who you just want to dislike.
Total prick all the time.
You know what's really funny, too, now that I'm thinking about it, is like the reveal of the Genosaur is done so much better than the reveal of the Gojalis.
Yeah.
Just in like every way. Like they actually have this buildup of like, holy shit, the Empire was here. They took something. Admittedly, that something has a goofy ass name, but everyone who hears the name is like, oh, that sounds fucking serious.
And
then they're
they
like,
find,
hey,
like,
we made it better.
Of,
And they find, like, remains of blown-up Zoids and shit, and it's like, right, oh, right. Man, I don't know what did this. And I think the first you see of it is just a giant beam shooting through the forest, and you don't actually see it, but you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see, like, the eye right when Raven gets it initially, yeah. But, like, even that is such a better reveal, because that's the scene where Prozen's like, hey, I got a gift, and Raven's just a little snot-nosed punk about it, and then he sees with the gift, and he's like, holy fuck. Like,
I can get used to this. You should have said that. Really good.
Just made it.
What?
I don't know. It sounded like something Sonic would say.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, that's done well. Why the Gojalis has done so much shittier, I don't know. Maybe because it's a dumber looking Zoid.
Man.
Ugh. So,
Can't wait till there's eventual Genosaur versus Gojalis, and the Gojalis just gets fucking stomped by this
probably
stupid
will.
Zoid in this stupid battle. Why do I even care? I still want to see it.
Yeah, no, I think that the show has improved. I'm not like, oh god, we gotta watch more Zoids. I'm like,
yeah we're
okay.
Not dreading.
We can watch some more Zoids. It'll be stupid, but it'll be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And Raven will have a bunch of lines that make me go, fuck this kid. I love him.
And so,
hate this bastard.
And so I don't know if I want to reveal yet, but we know that there is a time jump.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've older. Already kind of talked about this. Dude, basically.
But what if Raven changes?
I'm hoping that his voice doesn't change too much. That is something that concerns me, to be perfectly honest.
The same. Be fucking awesome. All right. Well, for our bet, right? We got a bet. Our current bet is how many times they mentioned Zoid Eve,
which they did a shitload.
Yeah, I think the highest we had was like 6 or 8 was the highest we bet.
I had put down 4 mentions overall through the 13 episodes, and you had 6, and I believe there was one episode where they mentioned it 4 times within that one episode. So
just fucking, and it was all over the place. We didn't get constant. A full count, but I think it was like 10 to 12.
It was enough to completely wipe the floor with me, which is where I stopped counting. So
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you have won that bet. And for the next bet, you notice that the happy guitar music, which we love so much from the first block, is a bit more scarce these days.
Yeah. Things are more serious now.
Yeah, so you said that maybe a good one would be to, like, bet how many times the happy guitar music comes in.
Yeah, how many episodes it comes in out of the 8 more episodes we're going to watch of this.
Yeah, we're going to watch...
Halfway point.
Yeah, until the halfway point, which is the time skip, which is kind of a second season, which is known as the Guardian Force, or just Guardian Force, I don't know, but whatever. The point is that we're going to watch 8 more episodes of this, and then we're going to move on to something else so that we don't drown you in Zoids.
Yeah, probably for the best.
Yeah, right, or drown ourselves in Zoids. So, we got 8 episodes. What do you think?
Shit. Yeah, it's hard to say because things get more serious. I'm gonna go with a 3.
Oh man, that's actually exactly what I was gonna say. I'm gonna go with 2 then, because I have a strong suspicion that the last episode is gonna end with happy music. Probably, but you know what? Who knows? We'll
it
lock
didn't
it
happen
in.
Much this block.
3 and 2. Yeah, but I have to imagine that before a time skip, there's like, okay, like, here's this cool resolution thing. Like, yay, we got Rudolph back to the Republic, to the Empire, or whatever.
And even if it's not like a resolution, and maybe it's a dark, like, it's going to be the end of the season, basically. They're going to cut back to that music, which is like, it's the same as the opening theme of the show.
Right.
So,
and I mean, I'm just thinking in terms of like the other notable show that I'm familiar with that has a time skip, which is Gurren Lagann, which does end on a triumphant note before the time skip happens. But anyway, speaking of Gurren Lagann in a weird way, we should talk about what we're going to be watching next week / covering for Wednesday, since this episode will be coming out late. That's going to be the show Zoids Wild, which is a 2018 reboot of the franchise. There was like a whole multimedia push for different Zoid stuff, apparently.
The graphics have gotten better.
Yeah, I guess.
The character designs have not.
Yeah, we will talk about this show in depth. I mentioned Gurren Lagann because I was thinking about it today, and I was like, man, this show is basically like someone saw Gurren Lagann and was like, let's do that for Zoids and for like 10-year-olds.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It ended up sucking. But yeah, we will rant about that garbage in a few days. Until then, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us on Wednesday for Zoids Wild. Thanks so much for listening. We really don't say it enough. Follow us over at facebook.com/HPPod and Twitter @HPPod, where we post all of our episodes as well as additional content related to what we've been watching. If you enjoyed this episode, it's also a great way to get in contact with us if you're so inclined. Of course, subscribing on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or, you know, wherever you get your podcasts is a surefire way to stay up to date. And while you're there, wherever that happens to be, consider leaving us a review. We'd really appreciate it, and it helps us find new listeners. See you next week for what? What am I saying? See you tomorrow for Zoids Wild.